when we come to Daniel's life and we come to the end of his life, we know that we have been able to learn many lessons from his life. God used Daniel as a prophet, and he was an administrator, a very high official. Through the reigns of many kings, he survived, and many of the people who, many of the kings who reigned over the land, he was in Babylon, as we all know, all his life. And also, we know that Daniel had a good ending. Many times we see the beginning of some people, but the ending is not good. But in the case of Daniel, he had a good start, he had a good ending. He's one of the few people in the Bible about whom there is nothing bad to speak about him. In fact, Daniel lived a life of total integrity and faithfulness to God. So not only that God used him as a prophet, an administrator, an interpreter of dreams, but we know that God revealed to Daniel many prophecies, and those we see in the latter parts of the book of Daniel, which we are not going through. God willing, sometime in the future, we will go into the prophecy of Daniel and look at the things that God revealed to him about the end times. And we will go into that. That is not the discussion for today, but I'm just wanting to let you know. So Daniel was, the book of Daniel was a major prophet. He was a prophet of renown, and the prophecies of Daniel is very closely linked with that of Revelation, and it can be applicable for us today. But as we are going to close the book of Daniel, at the very end we see that Daniel is given, he asks some questions about the end days, and he is told that, you know, it will be revealed. Right now you shut up the prophecies, it will be revealed at the end time. So the whole life of Daniel, we can see a rich legacy that he lived. Today I want to speak about a very simple but very important topic called leaving a legacy behind us. We need to leave a legacy behind us, and we are called to do that by God. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open to the book of Hebrews, and we are going to read a few verses here. Hebrews, we are going to read chapter 11. If someone has got the Bible, can you please read this portion? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32, 33, 34, and 35. What we look here, the writer of Hebrews is writing about the people of faith, the Old Testament people of faith. Now, if you look at this verse specifically, the name of Daniel is not mentioned. But if you see there is a particular part in verse number 33 where it says that he stopped the mouth of lions. Of course, we know in the Bible there is nobody else other than Daniel who was thrown into the lion's den. So this is specifically speaking about Daniel of the Old Testament, who stands before us and leaves a legacy for us to follow. Daniel, and then we see after that, quench the violence of fire, which is speaking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace. So Daniel and his three friends figure, even though not by name, but by the very deeds in the hall of fame of the great people of faith. So, putting that aside, I want us to look into Hebrews chapter 12. And we are going to read a few verses, and I'm going to speak on this topic. So, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Can someone please read that? Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. So, we are told that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So, chapter 12 is following chapter number 11. So I want to speak on the topic called leaving a legacy behind. So I just want to make a kind of a foundation to what I'm going to speak to you right now. Very important. So our life is consisting of a series of moments. So some of our moments are some of these moments are happy, some moments are sad, some moments we would like to cherish and remember, some moments we like to forget, some moments bring thrill into our lives, some are very terrifying, something that we don't want to think about, and there are moments of peace and there are moments of pain. So life is, someone has said that life is nothing more or nothing less than the moments that we experience. These moments become the foundation of the legacy that we are building upon. So there are two ways how we can build a legacy. We can either build a legacy of self, or we can build a legacy of service. But the fact that we need to remember is that we are always building a legacy, that people will remember us after we die. We are always in the quest of building a legacy. And the reality is that everyone remembers the lives that we live. And this is basically, we understand it is between two numbers. So every moment in our lives rests between two numbers or two dates. The first date we already know, that is the date that we were born. It's the date that we entered into this earthly life. We already know about that. But then there is a second day. The second date is a number that is a mystery to all of us and to everyone else. So the second date is a date that we are going to leave this earth and enter into eternity. So these two dates act like a book, it ends on the legacy that we leave in our life. And the reason I'm saying is that we always make an impact, whether we live or die. And sometimes we even after our death, we speak to people because of the influence that we had on them. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 4, at the very end speaks about Abel, who, though he was died, he still speaks to people. So we speak to people even after we die or we go away from this world. And that is something for us to remember. And that's what I want to speak about today. So each day we are making deposits into that legacy, or we are making withdrawals from that legacy. And so, as I said, either we can live for self, a life that is always concentrated on our things, our personal self, or we can leave a legacy of service to others, other people. And so the question comes about, what are we leaving behind? What kind of legacy are we leaving behind? What kind of spiritual legacy is echoing throughout eternity from our lives? How can we develop a great spiritual legacy? I want to take this verses in Hebrews chapter 12. And I want to say that there are three things we need to remember as we build up our legacy. Number one, we should remember those who have finished the race. We are all running a race. The Word of God says that we are all running a race that is set before us. We all are in a personal race that we are running. And the author of Hebrews, he in chapter 12 says, he's calling us to remember that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. If you see how chapter 12 starts, it says, therefore, which means it's continuing from chapter 11. It says, therefore, remember that we are surrounded by a great, which means he's asking us to refer back into chapter 11. And those are the witnesses that he has presented who are surrounding us. And their lives are an example for us. So think about that. These people, they lived a life by faith. And we also are meant to inspire to live more fully so that we can influence many other people. Just imagine. So some of the people that are mentioned here, very quickly I will say, There are three, there are some different kinds of people. One before the pre-covenant, you know, people like Abel. What do we remember about Abel? He was the one who brought the appropriate sacrifice to God, a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. Think about Enoch, the man who walked so closely to God that he just went into heaven without dying. Or remember Noah, the one who obeyed the call of God to build an ark and saved himself and his family from the destruction that happened on the earth. Or we can remember the legacy of the patriarchs. Think about Abraham, the one who was known by following God by faith. Or think about Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, and he became the one who built up the 12 tribes of Israel. Or think about great leaders like Moses, the one who led the people of God from the captivity of Egypt. Or think about David, the killer of Goliath, the greatest king of all of Israel's history. Remember those. So one of the things that he is saying is that, remember, we are surrounded by these kind of witnesses who are basically, who have been a witness to God and been a witness about God's power in their generation. Remember those people. Number one, those who finished the race. They all finished the race. At the end, she speaks about, people like Apostle Paul, who said, I have finished the race, I have run the race, I have kept my faith. So remember all these great men and women of God who have finished the race, number one. The second thing that we should remember, also what the writer of Hebrews is telling us, is that we need to remember to stay on the race faithfully. We need to stay. So as the author is comparing our life to a race that we are running, remember the eyes of heaven are upon us. We have been called to run a good race and give our best to the life that we are now living for Christ. So the question is, what is holding us back from serving Jesus 100%? What is it? What is there in our life that we cannot come out and serve Him completely and build a legacy for the generations to follow? What is it? If you look at verse number 1, we see that there are two things that normally weigh us back. It is putting a weight in our as we run this race. One we can think about as it says laying aside every weight, the things that the sin that is ensnaring us, taking care of. What are those things? It can be either disturbances in our life that slow us, things that truly disturb us, the weight of worry, the weight of despair, the weight of unbelief. Those are the things that slow us as we are running the race every day. Or it can be distractions that misdirect us and send us off course, going on a different direction. We get tempted, we get attracted, we get sidetracked from where we have to run. And so the writer of Hebrews tells us, throw away these hindrances. Don't leave that hindrances to slow us down or prevent us from running the race. So, you know, they are kind of described as like heavy packs, heavy clothing, things that slow the runner down. So it says, take it off, lighten the load, don't carry all that, remove the burden, cast away from you. And when you do that, we are able to run faithfully the race that is set before us. So what the writer of Hebrews is calling us is, each of us have to get rid of everything that is holding us back from faithfully serving Christ. If there is something in our life that is holding us back, we need to examine and take it away, because that way we understand that we are not able to truly run the race faithfully. Get rid of anything that keeps us from walking with Christ slowly and following Christ closely. We have to get rid of it. So remember those who ran the race and finished it. Number two, we remember to stay on the race and run faithfully. The third thing that we should remember is, remember the example of Christ. See, the Bible never tells us to look at other people as an example. There is only one person in the Bible who has said, follow me. And that was Apostle Paul. But then very quickly says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, the Bible always tells us if there is somebody that we need to compare, that is Jesus Christ. One of the greatest problems is that many within the church is that they take their focus off from Jesus and place the focus on people where that focus does not belong. We should not focus on other people, because everyone will not be the perfect person that we could look at. That's why it says, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus is the beginning of our faith. He is the author. Our faith must start with Jesus, because He is the right foundation. He is the only foundation. Many times what happens, we put our focus on goods and possessions, the blessings that we receive from God, and we allow them to distract us from the one who gave us the blessings. And that prevents us in our walk with God. Many times we focus on our problems, the hardships that we face, and we turn our eyes from Jesus. Sometimes we focus on opinions of other people. Did that person like me? Did that person say good about me? If not, did that person say bad? Our focus is totally turned and we are not able to run the race. Sometimes we focus on our pride. We think that we have achieved something, we are somebody, we are something. But I'm telling you, the Word of God says we should never focus on that. We should also not get focused on our desires, our carnal desires, our earthly desires. So, unless we truly focus on where our focus should be, we will never develop a true and deep relationship with Christ. We can constantly get ourselves off course and off track from the race that we have been running. The truth is that we need to place Jesus at the center of our life, and when we do that, everything else will fall into place. So first one, it says we need to focus on Jesus. Then on the other side also, on verse number 2, it says not only along with Jesus, it says he endured the cross. So the second thing we need to focus is upon the cross that represents what Jesus did for us. We need to remember the sacrifices that Jesus made on the cross to redeem us as the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus endured the sufferings on the cross, and so willingly we need to take up our own cross and follow after him every day. We need to remember the blood that Jesus shed for us as we gain forgiveness of sin. So why I mentioned this particular passage, let's go back to the life of Daniel. One of the things, if you think about the life of Daniel, is from a young man. As a young man, when he was brought into Babylon, he ran the race faithfully. His focus was upon God and the faithfulness that he had on God. And so as we look, and I want to close here, you know, the life of Daniel, God raised Daniel to be a mighty man of God. And if you look at Daniel, there are kind of 5 things that I can glean from his life. And with that, I will close here. Number one, what are the things that we need like Daniel had, by which we can leave a rich legacy to those who are behind us? Number one, we need wisdom from God. You know, Daniel's wisdom was basically at the time when he was tested by the king to eat the food provided by the king. He said he made a compromise and he did not violate his spiritual beliefs. He did not compromise. His convictions were strong. We need to develop that conviction, strong convictions on our faith, number one. Number two, we need to be courageous to stand up for our belief when there is no compromise possible. We should never compromise with what God has told us. There are sometimes, this is not a gray area, there are some things that we should never compromise. Our integrity, our life of faith, our walking in truth, our purity in our relationships, purity in our walk with God. We should never compromise like Daniel never did. Number three is that we should develop a personal lifestyle of personal discipline, which is a lifestyle of faithfulness to God. Whatever test may come, we should not be going back and trying to adapt with the word. Daniel never did that. Even after the decree was written that you cannot bow to anybody except to the king, Daniel went and bowed before his God. He never compromised. His personal discipline was secure and he did that. The fourth thing is that if we have to leave a rich legacy, we need to maintain a consistent prayer life, a daily consistent prayer life. The secret of Daniel's power outside in his administrative work, in his power of interpreting dreams, was the closet life of prayer that he maintained, where he had maintained a relationship with God. Even in a foreign country, he would turn his eyes towards Jerusalem and pray three times a day. Nobody had to tell him to do. He was not somebody who was twiddling his thumbs and not having anything to do. In fact, he was one of the greatest administrators in the entire kingdom. He had a lot of responsibilities, but he never forgot that he had to maintain that relationship with God three times a day in prayer. And we also need to do the same. And number five is, no matter whatever happens in our life, we need to serve God. We see in Daniel's life, he fasted, he prayed, he sought after God, and God revealed to him. And so what happened at the end? I want to close here. Daniel received a rich inheritance from God. If you turn to Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 13, the final word to Daniel is that, but you go your way till the end. You shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the day. You know, Daniel was given a parting promise that one day you now go and take your rest. Your life is over. You have left a rich legacy. One day you will rise up from where you are and you are going to receive your inheritance. Let me close here. Brothers and sisters, we are all living a life, and this is one life that we live. We are not going to live beyond the grave. We cannot do anything after we die. The time to do is now. The time to live for God is today. The time to pray is today. The time to be faithful to God is today. So let us take a firm decision in our life. Lord, make me like Daniel. Make me a man who is faithful to you.